We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Listen to what West Virginia coach Neil Brown had to say on today's Big 12 Coaches Teleconference. That's coming up right after this.
West Virginia fans, stay up to date on all things Mountaineers at WVUSports.com. WVUSports.com has 24/7 access to all of your favorite Mountaineer teams. The site's modern design provides the same fan-friendly experience on a mobile phone as it does on a desktop computer. Watch videos, listen to podcasts, and read feature stories anytime, anyplace. WVUSports.com, the official home of the West Virginia Mountaineers.
All right, good morning. Great way to start the season on Saturday. Took care of business. Offensively, we ran the ball much better than we did at any point last year. So that was a positive, both O-line, tight end, running back. All those guys played much improved. Thought our communication for our first game was solid. Played a lot of young guys offensively, and they played reasonably well for their first extensive action. Had several explosive plays, which we're going to need to continue once we get into league play. Defensively, we were really good on third downs, 1 out of 11. Eastern Kentucky was. We limited explosive plays. And then I thought Alonzo Adai and Tony Fields in their first games played really well for us. Special teams didn't perform as well as we would have liked. Nothing glaring, just not up to our standards in that department. Good first win overall. Glad to get a game under our belt. Our discipline and our attention to detail must improve once we get into league play. So with that, I'll answer any questions.
Your first question comes from the line of Kevin Kimber of Blue and Gold News.
Hey, Coach, did you get to call everything that you wanted to get on film that you had talked about earlier in the week?
Yeah, we ran a lot of plays offensively, 86, and I think we may have had 90 calls, once you take out penalties. But we called basically everything that we planned to going into the game. We were pretty simple, which that's what we wanted to do. A lot of that was due to first game. Some of that was due just to the youth that we were playing. A lot of guys playing their first action. So we got everything called offensively that we wanted to. Defensively, not as many calls. I think we had 49 countable snaps. We did not. We on purpose didn't show a whole lot defensively.
And does this open week give you a little bit more chance than normal to do this kind of evaluation you know, after a typical season and first game?
Yeah, it's different. Really what we did is just because of the nature of the way the calendar was laid out and everything, we really, you know, we treated this like a first game, don't get me wrong, but we really tried it from a conditioning and physical, the way we practiced, we tried to set this 26 up as our point to get where we're ready football-wise. And so that's kind of how we've gone about our preparation. Not talking to our kids about that, just from a staff standpoint, is conditioning and just physicality and practice and all those type of things, trying to build into the 26. And so we're going to go, and it'll be kind of a mix between a normal bye week and kind of a camp-style practice sessions. We'll practice at least four times this week, and we'll do a lot versus each other.
Thanks,
Kev.
Your next question comes from the line of Chuck Landon of the Charleston Gazette.
Neil, how important was it to get Garrett Green in for that whole fourth quarter, and what did you think of his performance?
Yeah, I was glad we got to play him, for sure. That was a hope going into the game that we'd get him to play some. And, you know, he was up and down. You know, I thought only really one really bad decision. The time I got on him was just because I thought he kind of danced on the sideline a little bit, which when you're up at that score, you don't need to do that. But he plays the game with great energy. And he has extreme competitiveness, which is a positive. I thought he got the ball out of his hand. He ran the ball pretty effectively. His first play wasn't very good, and he got hit. And so I think he learned from that. But it was. He got a lot of snaps for a true freshman making his first playing time. And I was glad he got in. And he's a guy that will play a lot of football here.
Thanks, Neil.
Thanks, Chuck.
Your next question comes from the line of Kevin Little of Austin American Statesman.
Yeah, Neil, hi. I want to ask you an overall question about the Big 12, because you have an extensive Sun Belt background at Troy, and the Sun Belt had obviously quite a day against the Big 12. Can you explain the difference between, you know, a good Sun Belt team and Power 5 teams and your thoughts on that?
Well, I can speak to two of the programs extensively. I mean, I think Lafayette has done a really good job. Billy Napier has took over a program, and Lafayette's had a lot of tradition, a lot of success here over the last 10 to 12 years. And Billy, I think, has gone, and they've got really solid plan in all three phases, and they recruited well. They run. And then Blake Anderson at Arkansas State, they've been at the top of that league for a long time. Extremely athletic, well coached. So year in, year out, those as long as those guys are there coaching, those teams are going to be really good. And they both are located in places where they can have drivable access to a lot of speed. Coastal is just now kind of coming on. We played them a couple times when I was at Troy, but probably not as familiar. They're difficult to play because Jamie Chadwell there, who's their play caller and their head coach, does a lot of unique things in the run game. So they're a difficult team to go against. But Sun Belt's been, really since probably going back to 2016, the Sun Belt probably hadn't got the attention or the respect it probably deserves, because there's some really good football teams. You throw App in there too, and so, you know, I think those teams played well. I haven't had a chance to watch them. You know, there's a difference week in and week out. The grind in our league is quite a bit different, but I think those teams that won are really well coached, and that won't be the only type of big game that they win this year.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Tom Bragg of the West Virginia Sports Now.
Hi, Neil. Good morning.
Tom, good morning.
Just with all that went on this offseason around the defensive coordinator spot, you get your first game week, first game under the belt with Coach Leslie, Coach Adai. Just curious what you thought of how they approached last week and what you saw on the field from their guys.
Now, they've been professionals about it the whole time. How we've gone about it, they've made the kids the number one priority, and that's what I asked them to do. And as we talk about being a player's first program, that's what they've done. I thought our communication was solid throughout. We played. There's some things, you know, in the game that we've got to do better. We've got to tackle better. We misfit some things. But as far as Jamal and Jordan are concerned, I thought the communication was good, and I thought they had our kids in good positions to make plays.
And last one I've got, it looked like maybe Mike Brown went down, something with his knee on the game Saturday. Just wondering if there's any.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine.
Your next question comes from the line of Robert Allen of the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Coach, how are you?
I'm good.
Hello, Coach.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Coach.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have an open week. Oklahoma State, because of what happened with COVID testing, now ends up playing this week. And I heard your game plan for the week, going against each other a bunch and so forth. I'm sure your coaches will have the time to delve in to Oklahoma State. But advantage or disadvantage, you think, to have the open week and actually sit on a Saturday when your opponent's playing?
I think neither, just because we played each other so late last season. Both of us have a ton of people coming back. Schematically, neither side's probably going to make a whole lot of changes. So I think there's a lot of familiarity there just because we played so late in the season last year. So I really don't – it's probably not an advantage or disadvantage either way.
And that was West Virginia coach Neil Brown. The Mountaineers are off this weekend and will take on Oklahoma State next Saturday at 3:30 p.m. The game will be televised by either ESPN or ABC. Thanks for listening.